Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, then you know deep in your heart that He left you here to make a difference. Today, there's someone whose life He wants you to impact as salt and light for His glory. Stay with us as we study difference makers next with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word. Welcome to a new year. Happy New Year. We wish you all of God's greatest and richest blessings and grace upon your life in the new year. We hope you had a wonderful holiday season and that you're looking forward to making Jesus Christ preeminent in your life in the new year. We are beginning the year by studying difference makers. If you know Christ as your Savior, then you've been planted in you with the Holy Spirit a sacred desire to make a difference, to touch other lives. You've been called by God to be His grace expressed to others, to be salt and light. And we're going to study in this series difference makers, key characters in the Word of God that made a difference for the eternal purposes of God. I want to encourage you, before we join the message today, to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Be sure to sign up for the daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. Every day in your email box, you'll receive a word of encouragement along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading that will take you through God's Word in its entirety in 1 year. Also, you'll find a link to Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. If you have not yet read this book, you'll want everybody you know to read it, I promise you. It's a powerful allegory about a young character named Carrier who grows up in a land of lifters, but he meets the burden bearer and his life is never the same. Each chapter is filled with practical application that will change your life and your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's The Burden Bearer, and you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Today we're studying Stephen, the difference maker, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Here's Paul Chappell.
This morning we study the life of one of the first deacons in the history of the New Testament church. His name is Stephen, and his name means witness. And Stephen was a mighty witness for Christ in the first century. In fact, as you're going to see this morning, Stephen became the first martyr in the history of the Christian church. This man for his faith, this man for his uncompromising position on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, had his life literally taken from him as he stood for the truth. Now we're going to see a man who stood against terrible odds. We're going to see a man who bled and died for his faith. But I want you to make note right from the beginning this morning, he did not do this by way of the power of positive thinking. He did not accomplish his great testimony by way of just some kind of mental imaging. But Stephen had a power that was not from this world. And by the way, if you're saved, it is available to you. For the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we're going to learn the most significant thing about Stephen's life was the fact that as a saved man, he was completely filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was a man who made a difference because of the power of the Spirit of God in and through him. Notice, if you will, in your notes, John 16 and verse 7, the words of Jesus as he spoke to his disciples just before his crucifixion. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Perhaps some of the most difficult words the disciples ever heard was the fact that Jesus would go away, that he would be crucified, that he would be drawn up to heaven with his Father. And as he gave those words to his disciples, no doubt they were concerned. Why would Jesus leave? Why did he have to die? What kind of news is this? And as he explained the fact that he would die and rise again, he says in John 16 to his disciples these words, "It is expedient for you that I go away." Take note of that word expedient. It means better. It means conducive to your advantage. Now, what an amazing thought that Jesus Christ, who spoke the worlds into existence, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, would say to his disciples, "It is true that I will not be present with you from this time forward, but it's going to be better for you because the Holy Spirit of God will be with you." Now, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Trinity this morning, and we believe the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and Jesus, knowing this so very well, said to his disciples, "I'm going to leave my Spirit with you. It's going to be fine with you. It's going to be better for you. He will always be with you." Now, sometimes people come under great confusion as it pertains to the subject of the Holy Spirit. And when we study in just a few moments the life of Stephen, there is no doubt that what happened through his life was because of the Holy Spirit. But many Christians today have heard perverted concepts about the Holy Spirit. They have been misled concerning the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And so let me give you very quickly five great commands from the New Testament about the Holy Spirit. First, the Bible tells us that we are not to quench the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you if you are saved. We'll see that in a moment. And we're not to quench. We're to listen. We're to yield. Secondly, we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Thirdly, we are to walk in the Spirit. We're to practice the presence of God by walking in the Spirit. And then fourthly, we're to pray in the Spirit. We are to spend time as we pray, not praying according to the dictates of our emotions or flesh, but by the Spirit. And then fifthly, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now notice on the next page the quote that I've placed in your notes this morning. We are never commanded to be indwelt by the Spirit. We are never commanded to be baptized by the Spirit. We are never commanded to speak in tongues. But we are continually commanded to continually seek the filling of or to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the fact is that when you are saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. You are baptized, if you will, in the Holy Spirit. And certainly every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of God who abides within us wants to guide and direct and control our lives. And Stephen is an example of a man whose life was guided, controlled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And so because of that, he made a difference. Now, what are the characteristics this morning of a difference maker? And I want you to see this from Stephen's life this morning. Notice, first of all, the ministry of a difference maker. How will our everyday life and ministry at home and at church look and act and behave as we walk in the Spirit like Stephen did? Come back to verse 5, if you would. The Bible tells us that the apostles, the pastors at Jerusalem, had said to the church, "Look ye out among you," in verse 3, "seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." These holy men of God were going to assist the pastors in the work of the ministry, and they were going to do their best to help the pastors, to enable the pastors to stay in the Word of God and prayer. And these seven men would tend to some of the needs of the congregation. But these were not viewed as menial tasks. These men would have many decisions to make dealing with partiality, impartiality, fairness issues. And so they needed to be men also full of the Holy Ghost, spiritual men. And the Bible tells us of these men in verse 5, "The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Now, may I say this morning that a difference maker must be a man or woman that is full of faith. In other words, they must have full persuasion of God. They must believe that God can do anything but fail. They must recognize that despite the great challenge of a family or of a community or in the church, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think. And that was the spirit that Stephen possessed. He possessed a spirit of great faith. During an especially difficult time in China with the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary at that time, wrote to his wife this letter, and he said, "We have 25 cents and all the promises of God." 25 cents and all the promises of God. He was filled up with faith that God was able to do great and mighty things. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Stephen had been saved by faith, but Stephen was also living by faith. 23 years ago, we came to Lancaster, California. I began serving here as pastor. We served for 16 months with no salary. We served for 16 months with no staff, no Sunday school staff. We couldn't find the telephone for the first several days. Finally, it rang. It was in a closet. We were thrilled to find it. And we were just getting started. We came, my wife was expecting our third child, there was no medical insurance and so forth. We did not come to what we could see particularly, we came to what we believed God was able to do. And I am convinced today that God has been pleased with our faith journey, and even as we now have new ministries and new buildings on the drawing boards, and as we begin our fall program, again we say, Lord, by faith we are trusting you as we go forward in the Christian life. Many of you this morning gave a tithe or offering by faith that God will give you a paycheck next week. By faith that God will provide for you. Many of you are making other decisions by faith. And this is vital because Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You see, a man lives by believing in something, not by debating and arguing about many things. But a man will make a difference by believing that God is able. And when you look for the difference makers in your life, and in this world, they are not people given to argumentation about every single cotton-picking thing coming down the road, so to speak. They're not people always sidetracked. They are people who believe in something and they never stop believing that God is able, you see. Now, that's the kind of man Stephen was. Stephen was a man, according to the Bible, full of faith. But notice, secondly, what it says about Stephen. It says that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, we see that mentioned twice. We see it in verse 3, they were to choose men full of the Holy Ghost. We see it mentioned in verse 5, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's come back and study that for a moment as it relates to our life. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 6, Jesus speaking, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." How many of you have been born again this morning? Let me see your hands, all right? How many of you recognize that did not happen by attendance pins in the Baptist Sunday school? That did not happen because grandma says you're saved. That did not happen because you were born in America. I had one man tell me that one time. He said, "Well, I'm going to heaven because I live in America, and after all, this is one nation under God." Now, I'm glad that's on our coins, but we're moving quickly away from that phrase as Americans. No one is saved and on their way to heaven because they are American or because they are Baptist or whatever. If you have been born again, it's because you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God showed you in your heart that you were a sinner and that you needed to turn to Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And that, my friend, that act, that desire was created by the Holy Spirit of God, and you are born again by the Spirit of God. It's called regeneration, change from the inside out by the Spirit of God. Now then, every Christian receives the Holy Spirit into his or her life at the moment of their salvation. But not every Christian is yielded to the Holy Spirit to the same extent. Now let's get an idea of this fact that every Christian has the Holy Spirit, because some of the Pentecostal persuasion will say that you must believe on Jesus Christ at one day, and then down the road you must really pray to receive the Holy Spirit, and by their rendering it's always evidenced by speaking in tongues. Now, the fact of the matter is that when they take their theology from Acts, which is a transitional book between the Old and New Testaments, and when they begin to try to copy the experiences rather than follow the doctrine, many times they can get off track. The truth of the matter is this, that at the very moment someone accepts Christ as their Savior, at that very moment they receive the Holy Spirit of God in their life. Let me give you a scripture to help you see that. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you either have the Holy Spirit of God, or you do not have the Holy Spirit of God. But if you have the Holy Spirit of God, then you are of Christ. You already are in Christ, and you possess the Holy Spirit. Now, when I stood nearly 29 years ago at a wedding altar, and I stood there before the pastor and my bride next to me, and we said our vows, and I said, I do and I will. As I said these things, at that very moment, as I expressed my heart, at that very moment, I received the gift of my dear wife, Terry, as I said those vows. And my friend, when you said some time back, dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. At the moment you said, I do to Jesus Christ, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your life. And you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have the Holy Spirit in your life today, but the question this morning is, do you, like Stephen, find yourself completely yielded to the Holy Spirit of God? Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? It's not a question of do you have the Holy Spirit, because every Christian in the room this morning has the Holy Spirit of God in their life. But not every Christian is fully possessed of the Holy Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is one thing to have the King in the throne room. It is another thing to have the King on the throne. Another thing to have the Spirit guiding and directing our life. Now, the average Christian today lives his life under obligation of the flesh. He lives his life day by day in the flesh. If he feels like it, if he wants to, he kind of lives his life according to the flesh. But the fact is that if you really understand salvation, listen to me, you do not owe the flesh anything. You owe the Spirit everything. Now, look at what it says in Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So a Christian who is not living in the fullness of the Spirit is living below his or her privileges. They are not experiencing power to witness. They're not experiencing power to forgive. They're not experiencing power to go on in the kind of difference-making life that Stephen experienced. And today we're here to learn how to live the spiritual life, not the fleshly life. That comes naturally. We're here in church to learn, how can I live above that? How can I have the power of God in my everyday life? And so we see the ministry of a difference maker is full of faith, and secondly, full of the Holy Ghost. And that then leads us, thirdly, to this thought, full of power. Because if you, my friend, have faith in God, and if you are emptying of self and filled with the Spirit, then I can promise you, according to the Word of God, that there will come power in your life. There will be a divine enablement in your life to witness, to make decisions, to forgive, to lead. You will have power from on high that was not something you conjured up, but it came from heaven. It was of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Now, we see many instances of that in the Bible. Notice, first of all, in verse 8, just right here in Stephen's life, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen had power very obviously in his life. The Bible teaches each and every one of us to be filled with the Spirit, And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, God is not asking you to attack hell with a squirt gun this morning. But God, as He sends us out into the world to do His work, is giving us power. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He said to His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And listen to this. And He said, lo, I am what? With you always. In other words, I'm going to go with you, I'm going to open the doors, I'm going to give you the power that you need in your life. The ministry of a difference maker. When you begin to find yourself growing in faith and seeking the fullness of the Spirit, you will find power that will come into your life from God, and you will be able to make a difference, not because you won the argument with your wife, but because you were more Christ-like with your wife. Not because you bullied your way through something at work, but because God opened the door at work. And Stephen was a man who had power, not of himself, but from on high. And that's the kind of power we need in our everyday lives. And so his ministry, his daily life was different. Notice secondly this morning, the message of a difference maker. The message of a difference maker. Now, I want you to recognize that people who make a difference are not walking to the drum of this world, and they're not parroting the things of this world. They have something refreshing to say, something distinct to say. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, please, the Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Now, let's just pause there for a moment, and let's ask this question. Why was Stephen so full of faith? Why do some Christians have the ability to believe so strongly that God can do certain things? Why is it that some Christians have a stronger faith while others are weaker in their faith? And there is one answer to that question, and that is the Word of God. What is their relationship to the Word of God? Stephen was strong in the Word, incredibly so. And you're going to see in a moment, this man knew the Word of God and had memorized much of the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's say that together, shall we? So then faith cometh by hearing. Now, our goal as Christians should be this, to spend enough time, not just in church, listen, to spend enough time growing in church, to spend enough time reading the Word of God, to spend enough time saturating ourselves in the Word of God, so that we would very naturally speak of the Bible, apply biblical truth, and think of the Word of God in the course of our everyday events. This is the goal of a mature Christian, that the Bible is a part of his life. I don't believe we need another Bible translation. There are so many today, and most of them are so very, very weak, and some of them are diabolic in their orientation. We don't need another Bible translation, but I do believe we need a living Bible in this sense that needs to be lived out through my life.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying the difference makers, looking at God's Word and studying key characters and how they made a difference. And we're seeing anew and afresh that God calls you and me to make a difference today in someone's life for the gospel and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear more about today's series or today's message, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chapel and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chapel with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.